Welcome to the first ever Mystical Sisterhood Roundtable with Alicia Isaacs Howes, Valerie Wood, and Heather Hansen. Stick around as we dive into the fascinating world of what it means to be both human and mystic. These three women have been supporting individuals through the modalities of the Akashic Records, soul stories, channeling, mediumship, tarot, the Hebrew alphabet, deep intuition, and magical mentoring. If you are wanting to get more in touch with the mystical, the universe, your soul, and your spirituality, this one is for you. Stick around. It's going to be a fun one. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. I'm your host, Maureen Spielman, and today is truly about tapping into joy and healing and bringing forward wisdom in spades, exponentially. I've gathered three of my all-time go-to mystics and three women who have been on the podcast last year. So I'm going to say welcome to Alicia Isaacs Howes. Alicia was with us on episode 7, The Healing Power of the Akashic Records. We've got Heather Hansen from episode 18, The Joys of Magical Mentoring, and Valerie Wood from episode 5, In the Realm of Your Angels and Spirit Guides. So we're going to begin now. I'm so grateful to be here with these three amazing, amazing souls. They've touched my life deeply. And if you have not had a chance to listen to those episodes, I encourage you to go back, because on those episodes, we do a deeper dive into their work, their story, how they came to do the work that they do. We may touch upon that today, but the first episodes I've recorded with Alicia, Valerie, and Heather are really about their stories. And so they're great. And this is the first communal podcast. And I'm just going to say welcome. And so hello to the three of you.
Yay! Hello! So excited to do this. We always have so much fun.
Yes. It's a group with lots of laughs. And, you know, it's funny because if I look back at where I started, it was the simplest of intentions that joy and healing co-occur in the same space. And it had been born out of some hardships I had in my life when I learned that those two qualities can co-occur. And they seemingly cannot, but they can. And so, you know, sometimes I go back and think like, okay, what are you doing now? What are you doing? But it always boils down to those two things. And so I think we're going to hit on both of them and everything in between today. But, you know, in a sort of serving to the mystical sisterhood, I wanted to start out, and I'll start with you, Heather. And if we can each answer the question of what does the mystical or mystical mean to you?
Ooh, I could not love more that that's where you're starting. First of all, thank you so much for including me in this. This is such an honor to be with the three of you amazing human beings. So I'm super excited. And I love this because this morning when I was doing my usual morning meditation and journaling, I actually kept writing the word mystic down because I was trying so hard to sort of put a box or maybe a bow around what this is and what this ultimately means and how it shows up for me. And I think I've come to the understanding that a mystic for me is somebody who is constantly in conversation or in an attempt to be in conversation with the divine. And I think that's really where my work always winds up going, is I hope to just be a channel or a conduit or a vessel for divine connection. So yeah, I think that's about as simple as I can get it.
I love it, Heather. That's a beautiful place to start. And I couldn't agree more. Pieces are coming together for me. So I love to hear the different language we use and how, well, what it means to us. So yeah. Valerie, you want to chime in?
Oh gosh, how do I top that? I'm like, actually, ditto. You know, I totally agree with you, Heather. You know, Heather said something to me the other day. She said alchemy, right? And that just keeps coming to mind, which I'm thinking mystical means transformation, right? Yep. So it's about like the connection to, you know, your own source, self to source, right? Your own connection. Magical just puts a little like glitter to it, right? A little spin of fun, hopefulness, wishfulness for something more joyful, more happier, more wholeness, more wellness, and so forth. And so it also means when I think of mystical, I just feel like support. And I don't think some people would think of mystical being supportive, but to me, anything that's outside of the realm of our human and our human body is like supportive, right? And so mystical sisterhood is to me is all about support. And this is why, like being here in this group, you know, I was never going to say no to that. It's like, yes, thank you.
Thanks, Valerie. I love the words that you're using there. And I've got it based on what you just said, I've got a follow-up question to what is this mystical? And we'll see where that goes. But Alicia, how do you define mystical? Or can you?
Oh wow, it's hard going last, right? Not last. I love everything that's already been shared, and I think you asked me this question a little while ago, and what really stood out to me was the words mystery and magic and how they come together, the mystery, the unknown. You know, there's so much more to us than we can ever possibly comprehend with our human minds. And then the magic that we have as humans to weave this into our lives and bring it forwards in this kind of connection that we're having today. You know, just the way that we actually met and found each other is magic, right? So for me, it's that blend of the all the unknown, the mystery, the limitless possibilities that we are, and then bringing that into the magic of our everyday.
And the one thing I love about the words that you're all using is they're very expansive. It's expansive language, and it's language when we're talking about the mystery and the divine and the magical and the mystic is that it is a world of expansion. It's not a world of constriction or limitations or, and it's a world that you know, allows us to challenge our limiting beliefs and what's come before this. But I think, Valerie, the question that popped into my head when you went is, for some listeners tuning in today, they are deeply into this conversation already. Some of them are not. They may be beginners. And so, you know, I often hear, you know, I had a good friend say to me the other day, like, Maureen, you really believe all of this. Do you? And I said, yeah, I do. I do now, but I can't say that was always the my truth. And so my question is really, what do we need to set aside to enter this space and just kind of maybe immerse ourselves a little? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, because I feel like if we have that veil that this is not real, it's going to hold us back from what we hear. So if you said, Alicia, what someone needed to set aside to receive what we're sharing today, does anything come to mind?
Gosh, I love your questions, Maureen. They're just amazing. Yes, there was something coming to mind, and I'm just going to pull it back in. Hang on. It's the being willing to become get more comfortable with the unknown, and being willing to say, I don't know, or I'm not sure, or well, this is what I think I know, but I'm willing to try this on. I'm going to be curious. Curiosity is such a wonderful frequency to be in because it allows you to be in the energy of discovery and learning and evolving, which is what we are here to do ultimately, is to evolve. So I think it's being willing to be in the unknown. I will say, maybe I don't know all of it because the truth is, none of us really do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Love that so much. Is love it. Perfect. Anyone else, Heather, Valerie, does anything come to mind that you'd like to share?
I think for me, faith is the big one because there's so much coming at us all of the time, and there are as many opinions, and impressions and perceptions of all of this as there are people. And I believe it was designed that way because every one of them is left to the individual to be an interpreter. So if we can just be present with our own faith and open ourselves up to just a simple question of what if, curiosity, like Alicia said, I think is one of the top three. There's no getting away from that. If you're constantly in a state of curiosity, and even I have fallen so deeply in love with wonder and the idea of just staying in a place of, oh my gosh, what if? And wonder sort of leads us there. So I think that's my trifecta.
Gorgeous. I love that. Yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to add, that's so funny, because I will have a lot of clients that are obviously open enough to come see me, but sometimes they'll be like, you know, I'm not really quite sure about this, or I don't believe. Sometimes they're like, I love those clients. And so what happens, I always say, I'll ask them about different experiences that they'll have, right? And a lot of times they don't believe it. They'll be like, I'm not really sure, or I can't believe that. So my advice to people who are kind of on the edge, that I always say, just buy it. Buy it for now, right? And then, right? So it leaves the door open to be like, I'll buy it for now. And then I always say, ask your guys, your angels, or your loved ones to like prove it to you then, right? Like, well, give me a little bit more, prove it to me more. But it kind of leaves the door open. And of course, it's always pretty much proven to them later, right? And then they kind of hook them in like, oh, that was so weird. I got all of this stuff, right? And so I think, you know, for me, I always say, just buy it for now. That's all you're required to. You don't have to believe the whole thing, right? Just for now. Ask them to prove it to you or help you through something else, and they will. And I think little by little, you start believing more because you have that experience. So for me, it's all about, you know, that's how I started. I need the experience, right? Like, I agree with you guys so much that you have to be curious. You have to be open, faith, trust. And then beyond that, it's like, I need this experience, because without the experience, you know, a lot of people don't, they have a hard time with that then, right? Like, just leave that. And so that's what I would add to that. So, great question.
Yeah, I love that. Alicia, was there something you wanted to add?
Yes, because I didn't want to believe in other lifetimes. I did not want to believe that I was going to come back here. Or now I believe they're parallel. But my very first, one of my very first healings on a past life, I'll call it past life, I sat down and the healer was doing her thing. She said, oh, that's just a past life. Just tell me what you see. And I'm like, I don't believe in past lives, but I'm seeing this. And I was seeing this Brooklyn door cut and protecting three kids. And but I don't believe in this. It's not real. I'm making it up. It's okay. What do you see next? What else are you feeling? And she took me through this 5-minute release. And I was 32. Until that point, I would often be so afraid of something coming up behind me. I would walk backwards downstairs or with my back against the wall on a double-decker bus in London. I wouldn't sit at the front. I didn't like people being behind me. And in this past life, somebody had attacked me from behind with an axe. And so I don't believe it was a placebo effect, but after that, I never had that fear ever again. So when Barry was talking, I was like, I used to not believe. I love that. Buy it for now.
It's great. Right. And you know, you right there in your kind of sharing of the experience, you showed your own transformation. And from who you thought you were to what you were willing to believe, and to now you said, like, you used to refer to it as past lives, you're transforming now. It's parallel to you. So I love that, because we are in action as much as any listener here. We are dynamic and changing, you know, just like you are. And the words I heard you say collectively were curiosity, faith, individual interpretation, the what if, the wonder, and the wonder, Heather, always brings awe to me. And I love that. So just in sharing that, that's an invitation for something beautiful. We know it's just beautiful. And then I love that the doubter, and if we don't believe it, and what it reminds me of is, you know, some people call it the ego, but how our mind or our ego can step in the way. And so that question I asked, like, what do we need to set aside? It's like, oh, thank you, ego. Like, can we put you over here? And that, then I had that vision of like, that gets me in touch more on a soul level or spirit. And if I can set aside my mind. And to me, Heather, back to your connection to the divinity, there's my through line. If my mind's in the way, I'm not going to be able to get there. So all great offerings. I had put together some questions before we started, but I think it's a powerful one because there's four of us here together, collective energy. Whoever wants to begin, why do you feel it's the right time for bringing our voices together in a collective, in community? Is there a calling for the higher vibration or energy around this, or however you might interpret that question? Heather?
That's a really big one, isn't it?
Yeah, we're all like, yeah.
It's a big one. And I, for whatever reason, believe that we are at a place in our spiritual evolution where we are on the precipice of something. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we can do it by ourselves. I believe that we need the support and the interpretation and the perception. I read this quote, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, but it was something to the effect of, we were raised to believe that we can really only receive things when we are alone. We can really only get to the deepest understanding when we are in quiet contemplation by ourselves. But when you take the word alone and you move AL away from it, it becomes all one. And so the reality is, we can really only experience this and the grace that this world has for us right now when we are functioning together. When there's a breakdown and we are kept separate or believe that we don't belong, that's where I feel like we slip mm-hmm. backwards. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's something to be said for sitting with three other very committed, very strong, very wise, very beautiful women. And rather than being in competition where they told us we were going to be when we were younger, look at what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. These are the seeds of what's possible. This is like, we're living this. And it's, that's why it's such an honor to know that this is even possible. And I pray that it winds up being like, you know, the bat signal that goes out like, hey, we're all here for it. Like, what can we each contribute? So I'm all for mm-hmm. the all one.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember in your episode, Heather, you talked about that tapestry being woven. Yeah. And it's such a different visuals will come to different minds. But this whole interconnected, I often think of the world map. And the, like when they have the, you know, me in Chicago and then someone over in Barcelona, Spain to yeah. someone in Moscow, whatever it is. Right. Yeah. But thank you for that. I love the, stepping away from the old paradigms of us against each other and yeah. just coming together in a very, very, new way. It's been around, but it's getting refined, and the invitation is, like you said, getting bat signaled out there.
I'm such a grown up.
Well, I was getting a bat signal, Heather, because I was saying it's not competition, it's collaboration, it's co-creation.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think even just mystical sisterhood, you know, there's been this idea when women get together, you know, there's this sense of competition or cliques yeah. or bitchiness or, you know, not yeah. being able to fully open up. And that's distortion. There's such a power that comes when women come together. And I think the four of us, you know, are recognizing that we each have beautiful individual gifts, and anyone could benefit from working with any of us or all of us. And I think we all recognize that no one person is ours or our client or mm-hmm. our listener.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are these beautiful divine beings who are choosing to spend some time with us. And yeah. so we don't have competition. Mm-hmm. I think we've all referred people to each other mm-hmm. at yeah. this point. And that's the beauty of it, is just relishing in the juiciness that we offer when we come together rather than try to compete yeah. or compare.
Yeah.
yeah.
Alicia, yeah. you talk a lot about vibration and frequency. When you tune into the word competition versus a word like collaboration, is there a wide chasm, or how does that feel to you?
Oh, huge. Yes. I mean, I think even I know all of you here tuning into that can, oh, yeah, it's like opposite ends of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And And yeah, and with collaboration, it literally is coming together. Yes. And competition is very much about separation. I believe that judgment can only exist when there is separation from our truth and from the truth of the divine, that we are divine. And so when we collapse separation, even if it is the illusion of it, then divine can move through us more easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but when I hear that message, I just breathe it in. I just breathe it in. It just goes right to the heart center. How about you, Valerie? Anything around our collective voices or why this is the right time for this work to be offered?
You know, so I agree with, so far all of you guys, what you're saying. I'm also, you know, in the past, I think just because how our society was kind of built, you know, especially women, they were kind of having to navigate more in a masculine world, right? And we hear a lot about the divine feminine, the, you know, divine masculine and so forth. And so there was this point where I feel it was like, I got to get ahead. I got to be in the man's world and I got to do it the way the men did, right? And not that all the men were doing it badly, because there aren't, right? And some guys are doing it really well and supporting women. But it's just a sense of, I would agree, I have to take certain action. It has to be competitive. It has to be cutthroat. It has to be like, go, 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 right? Instead of the nurturing way. And for me, I'm really seeing a shift of this beautiful feminine energy. So whether, you know, you're working with sisters like you guys, right? Or just family members, whoever, even men who are finding their more of their feminine side, it is really about, you know, nurturing everyone, right? And how did that look? And it's not what's going to be just good for me. It's going to be good for, you know, my sister, my partner, my brother, and whoever that is. And I'm really seeing a big shift in that throughout everywhere. And so to me, I think that's beautiful. You know, I've been saying this a lot, that it takes a spiritual village. I can't do my work without people like you guys, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a spiritual village. We can't do this alone, like you all said before. So I'm really happy to see the shift going in this direction, because I've been in this work for so many years. And in the past, women really were so competitive, and it was really difficult. If you've been doing this for like 30 years, it would be like, you know, and now it's so nice. It is so shifting, and everybody's just honoring everybody's gift, and no one takes a village. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, we just want to help and heal and grow and transform. And, you know, if I can't do it, Heather, Maureen, Leisha, I'd be like, you don't need me. You need one of them. Right. And I think that's beautiful. That's just a supportive energy. So I hope we continue doing that, which I think we will.
Yeah.
So to me, it doesn't matter if you're male or female or how you identify. It's just that beautiful of acceptance, of honoring everyone and supporting everyone wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So good. So good. I haven't heard the spiritual village terminology just yet.
Haven't?
So thank you for that. Yeah. It makes me feel like that's why I love the channel of Mystical Sisterhood, because of the joy and healing. And I think that there's something about, I know the three of you always make me think deeply and laugh and feel light. So I can feel my emotions and what might feel denser, and then I can laugh. And that just comes to me now is like, wow, is that, that's a new sort of model of how we can get to the root of our pain and our woundings and our hurt, like holding ourselves lightly and in a higher vibration while we heal. That's just a thought that comes to my mind. I don't know if anyone that resonates with any of you, or you feel like there's something to say there.
I think addressing the duality of that is super important, because we can't know one without the other, right? Mm-hmm. You can't possibly expect to know light if you haven't experienced darkness on some level. And it doesn't have to be catastrophic, but one experience informs the other. And then the beauty of that is being able to, you talked about in the beginning of this, the duality that you were experiencing joy and healing in your own life. If we can borrow and sample from one another, from two different sides of the same coin, mm-hmm. isn't that how we get a more complete picture of what the all is?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I love this idea of the collaboration that Alicia mentioned in a spiritual village, we all bring something so different to this community of whatever humans, let's just call us humans. Yeah. And I feel like if I can recognize whatever the differences are in the people sitting across from me, that leads me to be able to see the divine in them, the way it's showing up for them as well. So it's really just a beautiful mirror. Mm-hmm. We just have to allow ourselves to lean into it and embrace it. And that's where some of the magic lives, because I can't see my whole self by just standing in front of a mirror. I can see myself much more clearly when I'm also looking at you, and I get to see me through mm-hmm. your eyes. So it's a pretty amazing experience.
Just all gorgeous.
Beautiful.
I love it. Yeah. And it made me think of, Heather, your explanation, and you said duality. I know, Alicia, one word that, and I love the spiritual talks, because sometimes there can be the most obvious of word. I don't think duality was a word that I ever used, but even discernment. And I learned that discernment becomes a very big part of my life now, and showing me the difference between more of what I want, less of what I want. Can you say a little bit about discernment? Because I think it's a great one to kind of break down for the listener, Alicia.
Oh, what a great question. Another one. I mentioned earlier, I think, that judgment, when we go into judgment, we're actually creating a me, you, or us, them. And so we create separation and division. Discernment is knowing what resonates as truth or right for you, is uplifting or nourishing or whatever it is. It might be, oh, that isn't a place I should be, or I want to be, I should say. Or so I think discernment is the evolution of judgment, or it's maybe not an evolution. It's a bit like competition and collaboration, judgment and discernment. So mm-hmm. I think it allows us to move through the world, knowing and deciding for ourselves what is nourishing or uplifting for us. Yeah. And I think the ego helps us to do that. The ego's got a really bad rap, but it helps us as these infinite beings to decide, well, what in my human self do I desire? What is so exciting or energizing for me? And so, we get to use discernment through our spirit and with our ego intact as well.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I love that too. Valerie, I was going to bring up a quote, and I just wanted to say, as I was sitting here kind of soaking in all the shares, is that today is a beginning. It's a beginning conversation. We're putting a lot of different thoughts and teachings out there, really. And it's a starting place. You know, I can see us in the future taking one topic and spending, you know, our time on that topic. But we did a pre-interview to this and, of course, had lots of laughs. But I collected a few quotes from you ladies that I thought were impactful. And Valerie, you were talking about, let me jog your memory, that in the past, we've given away our authority. Mm-hmm. And we were talking mm-hmm. about structures and I think systems. And mm-hmm. you said we have given away authority, and the structure in our lives took away that authority and authenticity. Can you tell us more about that? I found it impactful when you shared it. Mm-hmm.
You know what? So I actually, it was a past life. So I was working on, you know, like the rest of us, because I'm human, how do I get unstuck? How do you know I want to go forward? And some work from a dear friend of mine, Lisa. She's been on this show, mm-hmm. right? She's doing this new modality. And again, spiritual village, right? And it went back to, I had a past life where, and this so surprised me, where I've had either in this lifetime, like the structure of my place in my family, I'm the youngest and I have only, you know, older brothers and so forth. And I'm in my 50s. So it's a different time, right? And being the youngest, the only girl, this is the structure, and not necessarily being able to be heard, be listened to, could be like, you're just a girl. You're the youngest. What do you know? Right. Or whatever, you know, and that's not bad. But then also what came up was a different past life where, and the structure of my past lives where I didn't have a voice. Right. And I had to kind of go within the confines of the rules of that life. Right. And it's really difficult to do that. And so at that moment, it was an aha moment that I think so much we can all identify is that we all have structures in our life, whether this time or other time. And a lot of times we don't feel like we can be authentic, right? Mm-hmm. And so it goes with like discerning. It gives you the sense of I can slide in, I can see and know and feel how I feel, right? Not what society says, not what my parents say, not what, you know, my sisters or whoever. What do I feel? What's good for me? And being able to feel safe and secure and being able to, you know, one, acknowledge that, right? Once and speak it, you know, that's even harder, but then own it and be okay with that. And that becomes, you know, I guess you feel more valued. Right. Yeah. And you're thinking and so forth. So I never realized until pretty lately that, wow, all of these structures really wasn't just about, you know, all of the new shit, but it's really about me not being able to speak my own authority. Yeah. Right. Whether it's in other mm-hmm. lifetimes or when I was a child and so forth, because I was always very super quiet, super good. Right. Mm-hmm. You don't mm-hmm. talk, you know, you just listen all the time, you only share when you're asked to and so forth, you know, all of those things. That's the structure. So you kind of get taught, you know, at a young age, be quiet, you don't have an authority and so mm-hmm. forth. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting about that. So now when I see any structure, you don't acclimate to their structure, you acclimate to your own structure.
I love right? it. Yes. And I think you're bringing up an important point, because I started with this question of the collective, and then you're bringing it down to what it meant to you and sort of like the what almost feel like new opportunities for us to grow and transform and integrate our past and past lives. But is that, can we hold both at the same time, this really synergy of the collective, but this beauty and enhancement of the individual at the same time? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely think that's essential. I don't think that we can't go forward without doing both, right? It's the paradox. And we have to have both. We have to have the village, but we have to also have our own identity and be able to be heard and seen and held and supported, not judged, not put down. Right. I think it's essential that we have both going forward. I think it was Heather, we can't have one without the other, right? Yeah. Both are needed. And I think they're both essential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To piggyback on that question, and anyone can answer this, is often in the world of spirituality, we talk about the mirrors, and Heather used the term mirror a bit ago, but how does the integration of our past and the healing of our own, you know, hurts and wounds and the things that, just maybe kept us not being able to move forward. When we heal within ourselves, is that also mirrored in the collective consciousness? Heather,
this is one of my,
smiling.
Yeah, I'm like out of my seat. This is one of my, well, because it's one of my favorite things to talk about, because in my school of thought, the way I believe, we're never actually doing it just for ourselves. Because we carry the generations that came before us through us. Mm-hmm. So I believe with every fiber of my being that when I say yes to healing something for me, it sends a ripple backwards and forwards. Because, I mean, depending on how far down the rabbit hole you want to go, I mean, time is a perception as well, right? So I do a ton of ancestral healing work with my clients, because I believe it's so imperative. Alicia used the word discernment. And I believe some of the stuff that we're carrying now, we have to pause every once in a while and check in and ask, is this actually mine? Mm-hmm. Is this something that I experienced in this lifetime? Or have I been carrying this forward through generations? And if it doesn't feel like something familiar, like it's something, there would be no reason for me to feel this way based on this incarnation. Mm-hmm. Now is the time to heal it. And so when we acknowledge that healing and we give it a voice and we set it free, I always have the same image of, remember those paper dolls you made when you were little? It was like one piece of paper you cut and then you opened it up and all those paper dolls were there. That's how I picture generational work. backwards and forwards, it's all connected.
Yeah.
We're not separate from this. So in addition to the healing in this lifetime, we're sending an echo forwards, backwards. And so I believe that we all benefit from it yesterday, today, tomorrow, and beyond. It doesn't stop with one, because the reality of it is the one is the all. So everybody benefits simultaneously. Okay. Does that make sense?
It makes such sense. And I've got a question for you that might be a few skips ahead for some of the listeners. But if we heal backwards, let's say ancestrally, if and when that soul comes back in another incarnation, is their work lighter or different?
I believe, wow, that's a good one. So I believe part of why we're here is we want to experience something that we were not able to experience the last time around. Mm-hmm. So I believe if we come back having done the work, then I don't know if it's essentially the feeling of being lighter, but we now get to experience perhaps that same issue mm-hmm. or a version of it from a different perspective. And so perhaps it's no longer a struggle. Now mm-hmm. it's a blessing, and we're able to move through it differently. Having this certain kind of experience behind us and maybe woven through it. So it's just another way to experience it. It's like going into a museum and seeing a piece of artwork in all different light. If you go at noon, it's going to look very different than if you go in the dark and just have mood lighting on it. And I feel like experiences of the spirit, of the soul, are a little bit along those same lines. So it's just a matter of the evolution of what we've walked through and how we can use it today.
Yeah, so good. So good. Oh, anyone else want to add to that? If not, we'll move on. But
I was just going to add that we might come in, as Heather said, you know, we'll experience it in a slightly different way, a different perspective. And it might be because we're here to really kind of get a PhD in that frequency, whether it's forgiveness or self-worth mm-hmm. or whatever it might be. So we kind of look at it in different ways, and we're getting more and more information, understanding, and wisdom. Mm-hmm. And going back to what you were sharing earlier, that you know, when one individual heals and it goes through our ancestors and through to our descendants, that then has an opportunity to up-level any soul's experience of that frequency. Because at some level, yes, we have ancestors, we have descendants, but at another level, we're all connected. Mm-hmm. We are the mm-hmm. collective. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe that we create blueprints or etheric templates. And when one of us does it, it becomes available to all of us. We mm-hmm. might not all perceive it or be willing to receive it, but it's available to us. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Good.
So good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brilliant. I love the PhD in that frequency. Is that a podcast or is that a private conversation?
Sign me up.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to, let's see who's going to be my next quote. Heather, I'll go with you. It was just a simple, but beautiful quote, and not simple. Do you remember saying, we let everything we say get in the way of everything we feel, or everything we see get in the way of everything we feel?
Ooh, okay. No, I'm going to say no. I don't remember saying it, but that shouldn't surprise me. I don't remember yesterday.
No.
That brings a thought to mind of the two ways of experiencing the world. You'll believe it when you see it, or you'll see it when you believe it. And I feel like, you know, part of... in the last podcast we did when we spoke, and I've been talking about it for over a year now, I had this experience in Sedona with this shaman that I was working with that brought me to my knees, because I, in doing this shamanic breath work, had a moment where it was the divine mother and my grandfather and a lot of information and a lot of emotion. But the main theme that I heard was, I've been here the whole time. You've been trying to intellectualize me. Mm-hmm. And the moment you stop thinking about me, I think the divine, as something of your brain, then you can experience me in your heart. And it was a game changer for me because mm-hmm. I am a junkie when it comes to, I want to learn as everything I can possibly learn and accumulate as much information from as many different modalities as possible. But comprehending all of that and filing that into an intellectual system has nothing to do with actually experiencing it of the heart. And when we come from the heart space, that's faith. Everything is completely different. So I don't know if I answered your question, but the goal for me now is to really, it kind of goes back to what you were saying about setting ego aside. I know that ego is there to protect me, but ego also keeps me small and it keeps me from stepping into the fullness of who I know I'm meant to be, just like every other soul that's on this planet. So I think if we can move into the body and ask ourselves, am I experiencing whatever is happening from an ego standpoint, from the brain, where I've already decided what your opinion of me is or how I need to feel about this based on someone else's experience? Or am I feeling this from a place of spirit and soul? And is this actually mine and my perception of this? I think that's the game changer. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to be present from a soul place and to hell with ego every once in a while. Just let it go sit in time out so we can mm-hmm. live a little.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you for all of that, Heather. The way that you are able to almost like tell a story with even just an answer to a question is a real gift of yours. And it also tells me too, because knowing you for a while now, you know, you talk about how you worked in different industries and people would come consult you more for your spirituality and your connection to the divine. And yet still a year and a half ago to 2 years ago was when you had this massive divine revelation. And so we never know when those are coming. We are never so advanced that they're not visiting us anymore. And if we're open to receiving and new experiences, you never know what's going to come. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alicia, let me find yours. Yours was really interesting. And I think it comes to, it might surprise you what you said, but it made me, when I was thinking about today, what are we afraid of? You had said being a powerful woman, stepping into her gifts and strengths and talents comes with a consequence. And I don't know if you recall saying that, but is that meaningful to you today and expanding on? When I hear that being a powerful woman comes with consequence, I think that it's asking us to step into more of ourselves. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think it's interesting. I think that the way, I don't know what we were discussing when I said that, but I'm feeling like consequence to me is a very negative connotation. Mm-hmm. So it's been a way like we've been afraid of our power, which for me, the divine definition is knowing what our gifts are and using them. Yeah. And so we've been afraid of our gifts and using them, whatever they might be, because of the negative consequences. Mm-hmm. And really, I think the invitation for all of us here and all of those who are listening is when we resist our power, actually it's almost like a suffocation yeah. of our spiritual energy. You know, we can't really extinguish our spark, but the reason we chose to come here, and we weren't like made to come here, we, you know, this was an agreement to come here, is because of the gifts that we're here to share and to perhaps mm-hmm. offer to others or even teach with others. And so it's outcomes, it's possibilities rather than consequences. Mm-hmm. And it's these other lifetimes and perhaps ancestral memories or yeah. Patterns that we've inherited through mass consciousness around women being persecuted, tortured, you know, not allowed to speak, being treated like property, not allowed to have property. Mm-hmm. Like there's mm-hmm. so many ways. Mm-hmm. And really, this is a part of the ascension process, is for us, you know, with the divine feminine and the divine masculine, I feel it's like we all have that. It's coming into divine union. Mm-hmm. And us as women holding that space for divine unity, mm-hmm. using our gifts and bringing more of that light that we are into our world.
Ah, yeah.
So I don't know if I went off on a tangent that I forgot.
No, and it says to me when I was thinking of what women have experienced in this lifetime and past parallel lives, everything, there was a lot of persecution. And so I want to ask you, as the energy is shifting, as we move into this new age, and we're holding ourselves very safely and compassionately, mm-hmm. as we are moving forward, how can we trust that we're safe after, you know, having experiences that may have told us differently? I think that gets to the emotions a little bit. But for women, because we're stepping out in new light. We have each other, we're creating safe spaces. Does that question resonate at all?
That's another big question. Heather, yeah. Go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
I saw you channeling.
Go ahead. My brain went to something completely different. I was just thinking, it's so fascinating to me, and I don't find it to be any sort of coincidence that many of the most historical holy books, the guideposts, if you will, the lanterns, they were not written by women. And they've always been written by men. And I know that upsets people whenever I say that, but I didn't make it up. I mean, that's a truth. Mm-hmm. And I think we are at a place, this is why I believe it's so important to be in this space right now and having conversations like this. I don't find it any surprise that the new moon, the women's circles that are starting to form, every time I turn around, there's a new women's circle being born. There's a reason for this. And I think that we've reached a point where this is, again, I can go back almost to duality, because we existed in a more masculine version of reality for a very long time. And I think the pendulum has very loudly begun to shift. And, you know, I mean, this is what has to happen. You have to go from one extreme to the other in order for it to get to center, right? Because it's not going to swing all the way to the feminine and stay there. It'll get to a point of neutral where I pray we're just getting back to center again. And the masculine and the feminine will inform the reality of what simply is. So I know I spun out a little bit on that, but that's where I'm at.
I like it because it's rewriting our own stories, and yes. And someone new is, women are picking up the pen. They want to tell their own stories and they want to come together and share them. So I appreciate that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I just want to add to that, anybody that either doing this work or just walking their own path and is choosing to be authentic. So saying no when they mean no instead of yes, like it could be something as simple as that, right? That takes bravery and courageousness, right? And so I think that's where you need to start. You're going to be uncomfortable. Let's face it, you know, you're going to be uncomfortable. You may not like it, but my suggestion is to be brave and courageous. You know, get comfortable with not being comfortable, right? And so being able to say, no, this is okay for me, this isn't okay for me. And I think, you know, having the support to help you feel brave is so important, right? Because I like have you ladies, and you know, it's just, you need that. And I think that's the community that gives you that bravery and that support. Or maybe it's just your family, your friends, whatever it is, right? Mother Earth, people love nature. I'm just, you know, connecting with that. So find your own way that you're feeling some a little bit outside support. So in those times when you feel like I'm trying to be authentic and I'm uncomfortable, or maybe society doesn't like it, right? Mm-hmm. Or my family or whoever it is, you're going to be uncomfortable. My suggestion to you, be brave and courageous, because otherwise you're going to be probably like what I do and be like, oh, you beat yourself up, right? I should have said no. I didn't really want to do that. Or man, I should have spoke up and said something, because I was really thinking it and I squashed it down, right? And so forth. And so I think that the more we do it, the more supported we feel, the, you know, more courageous we feel. And then, you know, that just become the normalcy. And then we're okay with that. And then we step into our power.
I love that.
And all of you guys do that, or you wouldn't be here, right? And all of you guys are willing to be uncomfortable.
And make other people uncomfortable.
So true. Yes. It's so worth it. I'm just going to tell you, it is so worth it, hands down, because what you get on the other side of it, it does not even compare to the few minutes, the hour, the day, or the week. Like, it is so worth it.
Absolutely.
Well, I believe that we're all here because in some level we're contributing to this ascension, this evolution on the planet. And so if we repress our desire or our truth, then we're going to create the same old, same old.
Yeah.
So we've got to get out of the comfort zone and use discernment. You know, is this a valid fear? Like, this is not a safe thing for me to do or a safe place for me to go. Or is this just me getting, it's just nervousness. Sometimes it's excitement. It can feel very similar in the body, right? And really, I love that word, courageousness and courage, because that contains the French word for heart, le cœur. So following your heart and leading with courage. And knowing that, it's not going to be comfortable, but being comfortable is no longer, I think, sustainable. And we need to let the energies move and evolve.
Thank you. And it just, the conversation reminds me of, well, Valerie, when you were sharing, when we let go of things that aren't ours, that aren't really supporting us any longer, it often calls us to use our voice and step into something bigger. I feel like it creates space. And that can be scary. And one thing that I realize in my own life is, you know, so many things we weren't practiced in as children. We didn't get to have the practice. So it's okay that we're practicing now as women and, you know, into many decades into our lives. And one thing that I was really surprised at is I recently, surprised, not surprised, I assume my listenership was sort of in their middle life, whether that be, you know, 40 to 70 or whatever it was. And the demographics go down to women in their early 20s. And that is so exciting because not only I think there's a real deep desire for what's being offered here. And to me, it's exciting because it's just the opening for change to occur earlier in our lives. And that's such a gift. Yeah.
I think, you know, I laugh about the idea of making other people uncomfortable, but the truth of the matter is, in my experience, people come to a perception of how things are supposed to be, or you, how they expect you to be, who you are, and how you show up in the world. And so when you do begin to step into this place of awareness, and when you do sort of find your own voice and your own way of understanding what this journey is all about, of course, it's going to make other people uncomfortable because things have been very status quo. For them. And a lot of people are not comfortable asking questions because, as you said earlier, we were raised to be quiet. So when all of the sudden we begin to come from this place of that doesn't really make sense for me anymore, or I would like to know a little bit more, it does make people uncomfortable because I think on some level they feel a little bit like almost judged. Why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I take up this mantle? When the idea is really to make it better for the all, it just starts with the individual and becomes something that sort of leaks out into the world by design. And that's the gift of it. But we do have to most definitely be prepared for the idea and the truth that not everybody's going to like this. This is a reason that witches were burned at the stake many, many years ago. And I think that anytime you are a free thinker and perhaps shine a light on something that may be a truth that other people are aware of, but we sort of haven't talked about it, there's always going to be some resistance, because if you knew it, how come you didn't do anything about it? And now we're just saying we see it. So now we are going to do something about it. And that's a blessing for everyone. So I think that's pretty important to maybe just be okay with the idea of, like Valerie said, not only being uncomfortable ourselves, but some people, you have a place in your family where people have determined who you are and what you are by no means of intention. It just is. And when you change things a bit, it rocks everything. So we sort of just have to be okay with the idea that it happens and there's nothing to be done for what everybody else is experiencing. They have to find their own way as well. And kudos to you if you can hold the light a little stronger and maybe send it out a little bit brighter so that it makes everybody else paying attention. It gives them the awareness and permission to know it's okay for them to try to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Love it. Mm-hmm.
It's not true.
Maureen, may I ask, because I feel like you even just starting this podcast in this space was really an evolution for you. It was like you stepping into an unknown and a discomfort. So would you add to that? Would you share?
I always say it's, if I look back, you were Alicia because you and I met when our boys were young and they were in about first or second grade at our local elementary. And I'd say like we're attracted to those who also they carry truths for us, because I feel like you had invited me to be your co-lead on the book committee for the book fair, and we didn't know each other, and something about that point of attraction. So I would say to the listener, pay attention to those very subtle but energetic points of attraction, because it's probably someone you're meant to meet. But you always would say in the most out there things that were based in your work as a Akashic. I say that with all due respect, but I was a Catholic girl from the Midwest and I had left my religion behind, but I married someone who, you know, was attached to more of a traditional religion, and it's all I knew. So the questions began to enter my world, and it would be like, I would tilt my head. Sometimes I don't know who's seen The White Lotus and seen Jennifer Coolidge, but the actress has that great way of like staring out into the distance, like, what did you just say? And I would always feel that way, but then I'd go home and I'd think about it. So I think my entering into the whole world of something greater came just step by step. And you had invited me to an Akashic Records class. And that I say that's about 7 years ago. And one of the questions was, what is your relationship with source, God, universe, spirit, whatever you call it? And I literally sat there and I did not have an answer to that question. I had nothing, because I think that I had put away everything that I had learned as a child from my upbringing and what that meant to me. And I had zero. And to say that that was me 7 years ago to where I am now. And I think that you ladies have entered my life. When I went through my health journey, I leaned on Valerie I had the big questions. What are you going to do with treatment? I said, I'm going to call Valerie. And that's a funny place to turn. You know, like the people would think that like that's kind of out there. It's not like I was sharing with my neighbors, but it was important to me. And so calling in the voices and then eventually meeting you, Heather, and just, you know, you become part of my friendships, but also my team of trusted people in my life. And so that came to me when I asked that question, Alicia, about how do we trust that we're safe, is we do it. It's a process. We do it step by step. We do it gradually and incrementally. And you always say that healing can also occur in a moment. And that is true as well. But for me, it's been a process of trusting myself. So when source or spirit or my spirit guides, whoever you want to call it, just came through so strongly with the name of this podcast. And it was just a name. It wasn't a podcast. And then with the idea of a podcast, the voices were too strong to ignore. And I couldn't not do it. So that's a long answer to your question, but inner trust in knowing that I was okay. And knowing that even if a person, one of my dear friends early on said, "This, you're nuts. Like with one of the first episodes, I'm like, no, I'm not. And yeah. So and we laughed about it. I said, you'll see.
I think he had, whoever that may be.
Yeah, keep listening. You'll see. She knows who she is if she's listening, and she's probably laughing. But it's just, I've allowed myself to trust. I've allowed myself to lean in. I've allowed myself to be curious, have faith, all the things that you guys have named today. And so I'm grateful for that because it's been a part of my journey. So it's kind of like a homecoming to have us come together today in this heart space. What comes to mind? Because maybe for today's, we'll begin to wrap up. We've covered a lot of topics. There's a lot for the listener to ingest. And I'm just going to say, so I don't forget, go to YouTube and watch this video. You'll get an idea of the energy we're bringing together and see our faces, because it's kind of funny today. I can tell when someone wants to talk or when they're laughing. But I don't know. Let's start with you, Heather. Where would you, or what would you want to leave with the listener today? It can be anything that comes to you.
No pressure at all. I would say the voice that you hear when nobody else is speaking, that's the one to listen to. That voice that has only the most beautiful things to say to you. Or it may be the voice that when everybody else says, no, you shouldn't do that. That's not for you. That's not possible. When you hear that tiny little yes, there's something to be investigated there. I am a huge believer in going right down the rabbit hole. Valerie and I were talking last week, and I said, like, you could basically, anything could show up in front of me. It could be a certain kind of a bird. And I'm always like, well, let me go see what that bird's all about. And then what is the color of the bird? And why was the bird twitching like that? And There's so much wisdom available for us that in our human form, we haven't left a lot of space to remember. And I feel like if we can just get back to the quiet voice, the space that's been with us the whole time. In Hebrew, there's this beautiful word, ruach, which is essentially breath. And that's how it shows up. A lot of times it's just a quiet, a whisper and a breath. You owe it to the divine nature of who you are to allow yourself to hear that voice and to enjoy the wisdom that it has been trying to impart on you since before you took your first breath. Yeah. So I'm going to go with listen.
I love it. That's beautiful. Very meaningful to me. It's a reminder that you give. Heather, you're always bringing me back to just being, listening to the voice, stillness. So thank you. And thanks for sharing that with the listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah. Valerie, anything you want to leave with the listener?
I'm like, how do I top that? That was beautiful.
No, not a competition. It's collaboration.
Oh, totally. But I'm like, I'm speechless, Heather. I'm just like, oh, that's so beautiful. I'm a little bit like, oh, like my mouth is up and like, oh, I love that. Like, I just want to sit and listen to that again, right? Like, I don't want to think. Think about the answer. Oh my God. Okay, so what am I going to say about that, right? I'm kind of just checking in because, you know, Heather and all of us, when you do this work, you can get so immersed in it and you just want to sit with that energy. And that's how I feel, right? It's not about topping. It's just, I want to sit in the words yeah. that we all share, right? Whether Maureen, you were sharing your story, so beautiful. And Alicia, you know, one of my most, oh my God, divinely channel, you know, I always say that, right? Like, beautiful intention. I just want to sit in that energy. So now you're making me come grounded again. Oh boy, you know, I'm going to say, take, you know, this can be a little bit overwhelming, especially if you're starting to get into it. Like, you know, it's a lot. This is a lot of thought process get overwhelming. So I'm going to just say, is that just take baby steps, right? And play with it. Remember, your spirit is in your human body. And when you're out in the world or taking walks in nature, I'm agreeing with Heather. Just listen and just have fun. I feel like it does not always need to be some big dramatic moment, or like it's, you know, it's not hitting you over the head, like to get your attention. Sometimes it is, but I feel like don't put too much pressure on yourself. And if you're uncomfortable and you're willing, like, I'm not willing quite yet to not, you know, to take that leap, that's okay, right? But yeah, what can you do today? And what can you do to have some fun? And what can you do to be playful in your journey? Because I think a lot of people think spirituality has to get like really deep and I have to like dive in. And I love that work. Like I, with you, Heather, like I love diving deep. I love, you know, all of this stuff. But some people, it's just too much in the beginning. So my advice is just go slow, baby step. Play with it. Have a lot of fun with it, right? It doesn't have to be anything big. It could just be, like Heather said, I saw that bird and just like, wow, why do I keep seeing that same bird, you know? Right? It's repetitive. What's the sign of that and so forth? I mean, and maybe I'll get curious and check that out. If you do, great. And if you don't, that's okay too. Just know that spirit's talking to you. So have fun and take it easy one step at a time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be so deep and heavy unless you want it to be.
Yeah. Thank you, Valerie. Yeah, I'm thinking because you do so much work with channeling, spirit guides. Hey, they're all there. They're for you when you want to access them at your own speed, if you ever do, if you never do. But thank you for the reminder of the baby steps and that at your own pace, because it is the time of, it used to be called rugged individualism, but the our uniqueness and what is meant for us and the divine timing and everything. Yeah. So exactly. Alicia, I'll let you kind of round out this threesome.
Gosh. It's just been so wonderful. The thing that's coming back to me is something that I saw about a year and a half ago in a vision. And I saw the Angel of World Peace wrapping their wings around the entire planet. They were huge. And then I was kind of zoomed in, you know, like special effects onto the wings. And rather than seeing little tiny feathers or, you know, membranes, and what I saw were little individual faces. And that the Angel of World Peace is us. And it's by elevating our consciousness or our vibration is how we become the ones we're waiting for. We're here.
Yeah.
And it's joy. So following joy, doing what brings us joy, what is restorative for us and feels good, is, I think, how we contribute the most to the evolution of the entire planet. And so that's what I would like.
Yeah, thank you.
If she found me. Yeah.
Just divine. Beautiful. I see some tears in the screen here.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I want to say to the listener, such gratitude. I hope you were able to stick with us for this entire episode. There is absolutely more to come. This place is for you. This space is for you. These women, the information will be in the show notes to find their work and look more deeply into what they have to offer. I encourage you to really give yourself the gift of whatever calls to you. Maybe that's sitting on your front couch with a cup of tea. Maybe it's, you know, discovering, looking into something new for yourselves. We are here for you more than anything energetically to hold the space of what's to come and what's occurring out there. So thank you, Alicia. Thank you, Valerie. Thank you, Heather. I love you all. And thanks for being here.
Love you.
Thank you.
Lots of love.
Lots of love.